Notice secondly now, we need not only a renewed heart, but our churches need a renewed vision. A renewed vision. Now, how many of you believe that every one of our churches need that renewed heart? Amen? It's got to start right there. That's the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. And the heart is going to be cured through revival, through prayer, through giving, through service. So I think we're on board there. But now we want to talk about the vision. And the reason we start with the heart, because the Bible says that there must be a pure heart. When the heart is pure, the vision is clear. Let's say that together. When the heart... So if the heart of the church and the pastor isn't right, it doesn't matter what your vision is. You could be way off. But now that the heart is, the revival is there, now God can begin to lead. Now death comes when memories of the past supersede our vision of the future. Okay. And a lot of people, oh man, I remember back when Oliver B. Green or whatever, you know, whatever they want to remember. And thank God for that. And I want to challenge every 30 and under guy. When we talk about Tom Malone or when we talk about John R. Ives, when we talk about whoever, don't let your eyes glaze over. You need to know the history of the blessing of God. But when the under 30 guys talk to you about maybe how some video or how some program or something could help talk about where we're going, did you know that young men want to know where are we going? Guys that are a little older, let's not let our eyes glaze over and think they're all liberal either. See, we got to have every generation on board for the vision. So this vision needs, first of all, to be developed biblically. And that's the common denominator, no matter what the age group. Just come back to the Bible. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, the word vision in that verse speaks of biblical understanding, and that's critical to understanding what vision is. Spiritual vision is viewing my life through the lens of the Word of God. Vision, it's not about my agenda. It's about moving people along in God's agenda, okay? Make sure that your vision is affixed to the Scriptures. And understand to dream no small dreams, because if you dream small dreams, they don't stir the hearts of men. And your vision needs to be a biblically based vision and a vision that is faith-orientated and a vision that is something that everybody knows. If God's not in the mix, it's not going to happen. And so you've got to develop a biblical vision. We're building right now the largest building in the history of this ministry. And I'm, you know, all these buildings, you move into them and it's just like, here we go, fasten down. We're gonna go forward. And the fact of the matter is that when we go into this, I know the church knows that we need the hand of God. Without Him, it's not going to get done. But we've also been very careful to attach to that building the biblical purpose of the building. The matters of fellowship, the matters of preaching. We've even got a baptistry in that building for special days and for the Spanish ministry and so forth. And we're trying to help them recognize it's not about buildings, it's about the vision. And the vision has never changed. And our members know that we have a vision that no honest history of the Lancaster area will be written 50 years from now without mentioning the impact of this one single church. That's our vision. We want to kick a dent in the history of this entire area to the glory of God. But it's got to be from the Scriptures. So it's developed biblically. It's developed prayerfully. John Bunyan, and I've had the privilege of being in the prison and the house where he lived in Bedford in England, and probably one of the greatest prayer warriors in world history. And Bunyan said, "You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." It's got to begin with prayer. Nehemiah, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Nehemiah, no doubt, had a burning vision, but it was all developed through prayer. And prayer must develop the vision because God's power is a necessity. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And so prayer is a necessity. And then secondly, resistance is a reality. Now you better pray over that vision. I don't know what your vision is going to be when you go home. To start Tuesday night soul winning, to have a soul winning kickoff in August and sign them up and have a training time. And I'd encourage you to get some of these materials. And we have training for the soul winners and we teach them a lesson and then we partner them up. And we partner them up well before the meeting. It takes several weeks to get ready for that. But you may start a new building program. You may be starting into some outreach ministry. But make sure that you bathe it in prayer that you might have God's power, because resistance is going to come. And as Brother Fisher said, sometimes it comes from the most unlikely sources. But it does come. But when you have been on your face with God and you've been in prayer seeking the vision of God, and that resistance comes, you don't start questioning whether or not. Listen, my opportunity to question that building is gone. We put the shovel in the ground this past Sunday. But putting the shovel in the ground, prior to that, there were months and months of prayer, and sometimes agonizing prayer, and sometimes prayer with trembling, and seeking counsel and studying this. And that's why after we decided to build the building, and they called me about 10 days ago and said, you know, we had a real problem with the structural calcs on this, and it's going to affect your budget by hundreds of thousands of dollars. I was greatly disappointed. I won't lie to you. I was even ticked off at all of Canada for a little while. But I never once questioned whether or not we're going to build that building, because God had put it on my heart through prayer. So when the resistance comes, you're able to stand knowing that you're not doing this in the flesh. You're doing it because God led you. But resistance will come. Change is the chief price of vision. And with change comes resistance. You're going to start trying to get all your leaders to become soul winners. You're going to try to rearrange your Sunday school. That's why I've taught our church for years and years, and some of our members helped me. A growing church is always in transition. And I've told them for the years, don't get too used to that Sunday school class. Might not be your Sunday school class next year. Let's not get too used to that building. I'll just give an illustration. I thank the Lord for this. I told our college administration, they have beautiful offices in the north building. I said, I believe we need to turn that into a complete children's building. I want to take these modulars out here, and we're going to do a great job. I think it's probably $1 million budget. It's not just going to be dumpy modulars. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful office complex for the college. But the minute that I said that to Dr. Getch, and I said, just pray about this. We're gonna take, 70 staff members and move them out to another side of the campus. This was what he said. Pastor, if that'll keep the church strong, just tell us when to move. Because we have a local church-based Bible college, and the greatest classroom of the college is the Lancaster Baptist Church. And they understand that, and they understand the principle of owning the vision and being willing to make the transition. But not everybody is that flexible. Sometimes people are going to be resistant, and we've got to be willing to pay that price. So develop it biblically, develop it prayerfully. Thirdly, develop your vision methodically. That's going to require faith, Hebrews 11:6. Today's churches are either risk-taking, caretaking, or undertaking. Which one are you? We don't see a lot of churches today with great faith, but people are looking for someone to have faith. It requires faith, it requires a plan. When you live as a planning leader, you're living in the present and the future simultaneously. They tell me that people with type A personalities think polyphasically. They're thinking on multiple levels and about multiple things at different times. And sometimes I'm my own worst enemy with that, because these thoughts are just always coming into my mind. But I want to tell you something, that if you're a leader living with a vision of faith for the future, you're living out today while you're planning and living out tomorrow at the same time. And sometimes assistant pastors and sometimes laymen, when pastors kind of organizing and arranging something that doesn't quite make sense to you, as Brother Fisher said, cut him a little slack. He's living 5 years ahead of where you're living right now. He's thinking about the kids that are in the seventh grade and what they're going to need when they get into the singles department. That's just the way a biblical leader thinks. And he's trying to prepare for the future. And so it requires a plan. And that plan includes physical materials. That may require visuals and charts to convey a mental picture of the preferable future. And that's why when you're building a building, you need renderings. And that's why when you're having a soul winning kickoff, you need banners. And that's why we employ the use of some visuals. I do not consider it to be distracting. I think people are hyper aware. God gave us 5 senses. And I want to tap into those in a spiritual context to cast out the vision and help people to understand Here's what we're trying to do. Here's where we're trying to go. And I know you can get too carried away with those things, but I'm just simply saying, in the vision casting context, visuals do help. And it is important that as you're presenting the plan, that you consider the cost and that you share that with people. And that's the next principle. You need materials. You need people that are going to be involved. You've got to put the team together. If it's soul winning, who's going to be the chairman of that? Who's going to set the tables out? Who's going to copy the calls? Whatever, if it's the building program and so forth, who's the contractor? So you need materials, people, then you need order. Paul said to Titus, I want you to set in order the things that are wanting. And order is oftentimes a timeline, and there's predetermined checkpoints, and there's accountability systems, and you begin to set that calendar and that accountability along the way. And the fact of the matter is that a dream without a plan is just a wish. I meet guys all over our independent Baptist circles. Boy, they're going to bless God. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And they're dreaming about this and dreaming about that. There's no strategy for it. There's no plan for it. And it's wishful thinking, really. And we've got to attach the two. We've got to start with a pure heart, and we've got to come into a biblical vision that is accompanied by a plan that will honor the Lord. So how do we renew the church? First, we've got to renew our hearts. And secondly, we've got to have pastors leaving this conference with a renewed vision. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you let anybody rain on your parade. I don't want you to go out of here and just try to just do everything just exactly like Lancaster Baptist. That would be ridiculous. Get what you can and don't try to use what you can't use. But if you don't leave here wanting to do something greater for God, you've wasted your time here. And if somebody says, you just got that at Lancaster, I don't care where you got it. If God gave it to you, you hold on to that. You be faithful to what God puts in your heart. Listen, if it's me or some preacher kind of stirring you up about, hey, you ought to try this or that, then forget it. But if God stirs your heart up, and if God renews your heart, and if God renews your vision for that back 40 of your church or that gymnasium or that ministry or that new staff member, if God puts it on your heart, then never doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. You hold on to that. These decisions you're making at these altars, you don't let the devil talk you out of that. And you don't let some sarcastic friend that went to Bible college with you talk you out of that. And you don't let some bottom feeder on the internet talk you out of it. You stay true to what God puts you on the put on your heart. You be faithful to God and to the calling of God. Let God renew your heart. Let God renew your vision. Thirdly, if you're going to have a renewed heart and a renewed vision, then you're going to have a renewed structure. You're probably going to have some structure that does change. I've often said to our church, if a vision of faith will survive, then it must be accompanied by a strategy of faith. You've got to have that strategy. Process is vital. You can have the right vision or idea. You can even have the right result. But if process is wrong, you're going to have disaster. And I grew up in 70s fundamentalism. I grew up in bus ministry days, and I'm thankful for that. But when I grew up where we had this great outreach and soul winning. And by the way, if I'm going to be imbalanced in any area of the ministry, I'd rather be imbalanced than getting people out of hell. Okay, so don't misunderstand what I have to say. But the process, I remember being thrown in with hundreds of kids in in the church where I grew up, which is written up in Elmer Towns' books on the fastest growing churches in America. Boy, we did great at getting them there, but we'd be in there with these hundreds of kids. I remember the day we had a gang fight at church. This is no joke. I'm sitting on the bus. We didn't have enough buildings. Our class was on a bus, and a bunch of Hispanic guys were in there, and somehow they heard I was a preacher's kid. Man, I walked off that bus that day, and five of them got around me, and I mean, they just commenced to putting a beating on me. And I remember running to my dad's office. Man had a bloody nose and a black eye. It was just complete chaos. Now, we got written up in the fastest growing churches of America, so hey, yeah. But I almost became a martyr in the process. You know, I'm just telling you. And we've had a lot of, you know, this vision and guys that go to seminars and get excited about getting some people, but what are we going to do with them? And I don't want to sound critical of churches that boast, you know, 5,000 saved, but I'm just telling you, the average layman, if you're up there going, hey, we had 5,000 saved, and what are the rest of you guys doing, huh? The average member is going to look around if you had 1,000 in church, and then the next year, after 5,000 got saved, and you had 1,000 in church. This is what thinking people say. Where are they all anyways? Structure. Process. I tell our people, every time we get a visitor, that's a gift from God. Amen. We've got to steward that person's life. You say, well, what's your attrition rate, Brother Chappell? I think we had last year about half of our folks that got saved got baptized. I wish it was higher, but I'm telling you what, those that didn't get baptized, I mean, we went after them and after them and after them and after them. We're working at it all the time to steward the blessings that God brings to us. You see, your vision will motivate people, but your plan will mobilize people.